All right, this morning we're going to carry on with the series that we've been doing and the subtopic we're looking at. So we've been looking at back to basics since the beginning of the year. And the theme of that is saying that God, I believe, wants us to come back to the basics of the faith, to take away all the things that are complicated, all the things that we think God might be looking for, which are good, but to come down to the fundamentals of relationship with God. So we're looking at back to basics. Now, we've identified a number of things that we'll be looking at. So we started off by looking at loving and knowing God. Then after that, we looked at worship. So now we're looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. When we finish that, God willing, we'll carry on with the other bits and pieces later. And we mentioned a number of things about the Holy Spirit last week. One of the things we mentioned was that the Holy Spirit is God. We mentioned that Jesus left the Holy Spirit with his disciples. You know, he said he will send the Holy Spirit after he was, you know, he had ascended to the Father, which he did in Acts chapter 2. Jesus has also left the Holy Spirit for us to take care of us, to help us. And to help us on this spiritual journey. One thing that Bible says, Jesus told the disciples then that he would not leave them by themselves as orphans. So the same thing applies. God is concerned about you and I, and he hasn't left us to just try and figure it out on our own, by our own strength. So he's given us the Holy Spirit to do that. We said the Holy Spirit is our helper. He teaches us all things, not just the Bible. He can teach you maths. He can teach you geography. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit can teach you these things. But he also leads us into the truth of the word, the truth about God. He comforts us and he reveals God's will to us. He brings us into God's will and guides us into God's will for us on a day-by-day basis. So we looked at that last week. But today, I want to focus on something very quickly, maybe for the next 15 or 20 or so minutes, about the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said something. So apart from the fact that Jesus said he will send the Holy Spirit, which he has done, one thing that Jesus told his disciples, even after they had been born again, like us, even though they had the Holy Spirit in them, as Jesus has promised, every believer has the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said there was something that they needed. And he felt it was so important that he said, look, guys, don't even try and do anything for me without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So today we're looking at you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is the background for that. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that anyone that is not born again everyone that is born again doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, what I want to distinguish here is this. Anyone that is born again has the Holy Spirit in them. Now, if you look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. So, just to clarify that, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus said something there. Oh, Paul said something. He says, because you are his sons, God sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Talking about the fact that every born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If you look at Romans chapter 5 verse 5, Romans chapter 5 verse 5, he also says there in Romans chapter 5 verse 5 about the Holy Spirit in us shedding God's love abroad in our heart. So it says there, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I'm just going through this to let us know and to confirm the fact that every single person that is born again has the Holy Spirit in their hearts, in them, in their body. Do you understand? However, the experience that I'm talking about here that Jesus is referring to in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is a separate experience. And that is what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just trying to be very careful here, because there are times that people say, oh, if I haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe I don't have the Holy Spirit. Every single born again person has the Holy Spirit. But this is a different experience that the Bible is talking about here. But before we go and before we look at this, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, about the power, why do we even need power? What is this power talking about? Why is it that once you're, as a born again Christian, you will still, you know, succeed in life in your Christian walk? But Jesus says here, hang on guys, you still need this power. So why do we need this power? What's this all about? Now, we need the power for a number of things. The first thing is, when we receive this power, we get, there's so many things, but I'll focus on two aspects. When we receive this power, there's something that we get from God, a supernatural prayer language. If you look at Acts chapter 19, verse 6, Acts chapter 19, verse 6, Paul was talking to some disciples and he asked them that, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Which means they were born again. They were believers. And he laid hands on them. He prayed for them. And he says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something that you get is a supernatural prayer language. Number one. The other thing that happens to someone that receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 to 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 4 to 6, the Bible begins to talk about, you know, the different gifts and so on and so forth. You have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, so on and so forth. So it says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. So this is talking about the fact that as a born-again believer, God is with you. You're going to make heaven. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit does all the things that Jesus has said. However, Jesus is saying that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a number of things will begin to happen to you. One, you get a supernatural prayer language. And that's what we'll focus on today. And it is also the entry point into the gifts of the Spirit. So that's one thing that happens when, you know, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to focus this morning, not on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but on this prayer language that we're talking about. What is the use of the prayer language? Why do I need a prayer language? Why can't I just pray in English? Now, if you pray in English, that is great and that is fantastic. God will still hear your prayers and it doesn't take anything away from you. But this prayer language we have, it goes beyond just coming to church and just we pray in tongues and stuff like that. That's great. It has great benefits that I believe are on that if we're not really conscious of these benefits, we will just leave a well that is undrawn, untapped resources. Do you understand what I mean? So today, in terms of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says you receive power. Now, that power, I said, comes in different forms. It might be the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through you. It also helps us to be bold. We're not going to go there, but in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that when the people prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached with boldness. So having the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to preach with boldness as well. It does something to you. But we're not going to focus on that today. We're focusing on back to basics. We're focusing on ourselves as in with regards to our relationship with God rather than what God does through us. So I'll focus on that. So that's why I'm focusing on this prayer language. What is it with this prayer language that we get? What use is it? Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. It says that 14:14. Or you can skip down. I'll just shorten this. Let's look at Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. So Jude is just, that's one that has just one chapter. So it's just Jude 20. All right. Anyway, we're saying, what do we need this prayer language for? It says, but you, dear friends, by building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So one thing that happens when we pray in tongues with this prayer language is that it builds us up. It builds us up. So you can imagine where you're trying to, it's like you have a runner that's running a marathon, and this runner has done like 1 or 2 miles. And if you're like me, once I've done like actually 200 meters, I'm like gasping for breath. And this runner is running on this long race, and that runner is exhausted. This building up of your holy faith is, using this analysis, the runner takes a break, and they give him like a really nice bottle of Coca-Cola or something. No, sorry, you're not allowed fizzy. A glass of water, and it refreshes him or her, and gets them going on as well. So it's a refreshing that, as you know, as we go through life, we're, you know, a lot of times we're stressed out because of everything. We have to rush here, we have to rush there, we have to do this, we have to do that. But the Bible says that as you pray in tongues, it refreshes you. It does something to you. It energizes you. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 28 verse 12, talking about, you know, this praying in tongues, Isaiah chapter 28 verse 12, Isaiah says something about that, apart from Jude that we read, that says, you know, building up yourself. Isaiah says, to whom he said, this is the refreshing, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of response, but they will not listen. Now, if you look at the King James Version, that says, in the King James Version, that it is from there that you get a refreshing. If you flip to King James, do you know how to do it? It says, to whom he said, this is the rest where you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. So Isaiah was saying something. Go to verse Isaiah 28:11 as well. Let me just check something there. Just one verse before. Yes, so 11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To him said, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. So Isaiah was saying that when we pray in tongues, we can be refreshed. We are refreshed. So if you're tired, you've had a long day, so on and so forth, or you just feel drained emotionally, just start praying in tongues. And the Bible says something will kick in. You will be energized. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, we're looking at why do we pray in tongues? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 18. Paul said something there. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So this is something that we can miss. But Paul the apostle was telling the Corinthian church. Now, this is a church that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were manifesting like, you know, really, really there. They were prophesying. All those things were going on there. And Paul was telling them, he says, it's great that you guys pray in tongues. Keep it orderly, but I pray in tongues more than all of you. He wasn't even there, but he just knew that, look, I pray in tongues more than everybody. Add all your praying in tongues together. I, Paul, pray in tongues more than all of you. Now, why did Paul do that? Why? So many things, maybe to get refreshing. But do you also know that when you pray in tongues, what the Bible says is that it is your spirit that is praying. Your understanding might not know what you're saying. Your understanding is limited. But when you pray, your spirit connects directly with God. You don't understand what you're saying unless you interpret. The devil doesn't understand what you're saying. Nobody understands what you're saying, but you are praying and you're connecting with God. And God is connecting back to you as well. And as you do that, you begin to get revelation. God begins to drop certain things in your spirit as you do that. you will begin to get supernatural strength. I mean, for me, I love praying in tongues. And it's so interesting that a lot of the times when I'm praying in tongues, I'll just, you know, get up and I'll just start praying. Pray like that. At home. And I'm praying. And as I'm praying that way, I get to the point where things will begin to come to my mind. Funny enough, there are times that all the messages that I want to preach, I'm asking God, what should I speak about tomorrow? What should I speak about next week? When I'm praying in tongues, it just begins to come to my mind. When I'm praying in tongues sometimes, God might even show me certain things about the service. God might show me something about someone somewhere unrelated at all. Why? Because as I'm praying, it's my spirit that is communicating, but I will begin to receive the revelation. It might be in form of a picture. It might be in form of a thought. So what I'm saying is that this is supernatural. In fact, when one is praying in tongues, it changes you. It says it helps you to grow as well. So if there's someone that maybe you're struggling with something, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm just always doing this, so on and so forth, pray in tongues. As you do that, God will begin to exchange something in your life. He will begin to communicate with your spirit. And something will begin to happen in you. Do you understand? So there are times that, I mean, so many things. So many things. So I'm going to stop in a minute, but I'm just saying here that, look, we're looking at back to the basics. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. And what we're saying here is that God has given us a very simple method of strengthening ourselves, a very simple way of connecting with Him, a simple way of receiving revelation. Paul himself said, I pray in tongues, man, at all of you. When you pray in tongues, something changes inside of you. I'm telling you. Something changes inside of you. Something becomes strengthened inside of you. So the question is this. Why do we not pray in tongues as Paul has said? I think sometimes maybe we don't really think it's useful. Maybe it's like, my goodness, what am I saying? I'm saying blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is weird or something. And we just put it aside. Meanwhile, that is a power source. It's like you're plugged into God directly with your spirit, not limited by your mind. Do you understand what I mean? So we're talking about back to basics. In fact, it's not even revelation alone that you get. As you communicate with God that way, you can pray to God, you can praise, you can, you know, thank God as well. You know, there are times that you want to say things to God and, you're short of words. You can pray in tongues and your spirit will communicate with God and you will know that your spirit is communicating something to God. So this morning, I just want us to look at that. The other thing is this. How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what do you have to do? Well, the answer is nothing. So to speak, nothing. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. The Bible says there's only one prerequisite for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is that you're born again. Simple, that you're born again. The other thing that we do is you simply ask. If you look at Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says in there that if you then, though you are evil, know how to receive good gifts, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So the Bible is saying here that you just simply ask. There's no ceremony to it. You don't have to be anything. I remember when I became born again in August 1996. And I think I've said this story before. I had some of my sisters were born again. Some of my friends were born again and all that. And I remember they would invite me to some of their meetings when I was at uni. And I would say, you know what? These are your meetings. I'm not going. I'd rather go to, when I get home, I could go to the Methodist church or the Anglican church because those guys are straightforward. All this speaking in tongues business, they don't do that. We're just, you know, so it's like I've been, you know, British from time, all this, you know, American. Oh, no, 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 no. Straight, nothing please. And I would never go to any of those meetings because I was like, what are you guys doing there? All this speaking in tongues. In fact, that's weird. In fact, sometimes I thought, man, this guy's out, there's something funny going on there and I'm not going to be part of it. So I ignored it. So fast forward 1996, I become born again, and the church that I got born again, they said, okay, you go through like a, they call it a new believers class, 4 weeks. So I went through that first week, second week, fourth week. Fourth week, they now said, okay, you guys have gone through the believers class now. Let's all pray and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that they didn't tell us that the week before. Maybe I wouldn't have showed up. And they said, okay, what you just do is you just pray and God will baptize you, and you start praying in tongues. You receive a prayer language. And I got up. We all got up and we now prayed and I asked. And to my utter amazement, I began to pray in tongues. And you know, it's different when it's you that's doing the praying in tongues. So you know it's not fake. So, you know, if it's you, you know that it's not fake. Do you understand what I mean? And you're not just making it up. So then I remember I started praying in tongues. I'm like, my goodness, is this really happening to me? And I'll pray in tongues a bit. And I'll look at myself. I say, man, this is interesting. And I found it really amusing. Do you understand? But what I'm saying is that the thing with me then was that I was so, you know, I just didn't want to have anything funky at all to, you know, I just wanted, but that's how it happened to me. So what I'm saying is that God is saying that there's nothing complicated about it. All we do is that we ask and God baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Then what happens after that? Now, the other point I want to make is that sometimes people think that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God will grab your mouth, open it, and say, speak, my dear, speak, guy. And he doesn't do it that way. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if you look at Acts chapter 2 verse 4, and after this, we'll just pray. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. He says something there. He says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So if we look at this verse of scripture, we see that it is the people who began to speak. It wasn't the Holy Spirit making them speak. So the Holy Spirit will give them something to speak, but they are the ones that had to step out in faith and speak it. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop here and we're going to pray. And what we want to pray about this morning is this. God, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. So if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and if you pray in tongues, that's fantastic. Just ask that God will help you to realize, you know, the gift that he has given you. If you're here and you don't pray in tongues yet, like I've said, it's very simple. Just ask that God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and you take a step of faith and just open your mouth and say what comes to your heart.